Bald and Blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution Podcast. The podcast to get tools for a powerful mind you can use immediately every day. Get tips, tricks, skills, and inspiration to create what you desire and achieve a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Cathy Tate and Daisy Pup.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm your host, Cathy Tate from Australia. With me, as always, is Daisy Papp, your host from America. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, Cathy, my dear. I see that because, dear listeners, I see Cathy while we're recording, you don't have sleeves on. So what is the topic about? And is there a topic at all?
There certainly is a topic. It's not related to me not having sleeves on. It's just summer. Yeah. So today we're going to talk about stigma, Daisy. And I think it's an important conversation because I do think that there's probably a lot of this thrown around the world. First, we should probably define it.
Oh, yes. And please do.
The definition that is what I want to talk about. It is a noun, a mark of disgrace associated with a particular circumstance, quality, or person. That is one of the official definitions. Basically, what we're talking about is when, let's say, someone has a condition and then there's a negative stigma associated with that condition, and then that person gets piled with the stigma because they have the condition. And I think that this does happen quite a bit in society in different ways in different cultures. I know there was certainly a stigma around not having hair when I was young, and that was very big for me. There's stigmas around having mental illness. There's stigmas around having disabilities. There's probably stigmas associated to the guys that came back from the Vietnam War. There's some pretty big ones out there, but I'm sure that there's less noticeable ones within our communities as well. What do you think, Daisy?
I agree with you that there are little ones as well. And I like to start at the root, at the little ones. I just had a wonderful dinner invitation, a lovely couple, very dear to me, based on their non-stigmatations. They invited me out and we had a lovely time. And we were speaking about how do we define the little sticky labels. And sometimes, you know, when we go to a store and we buy an item and then there's a label on it or there's a price tag on it, and when we want to remove that, because let's say it's a gift or we want to use it for ourselves, then some of these price tags are really applied with an adhesive that is just so sticky that you have a hard time getting them off. Now, I like to mention that because some of these stigmata, maybe, when they are put on someone, or I put them on someone, or I put them on myself, they're hard to remove. Now, I like to go back to the very, very basics. Who am I to stigmatize? Because does not it all come back to me observing and then evaluating it, whatever I'm observing, positive, negative, or neutral? And then it happens that it's an unfortunate case when it's on the negative side, and then the stigma slips in and the label becomes even exaggerated. I think it has very much to do with judgment when we go to the very bottom of it.
I would agree, but I also think they probably arise from social norms.
So, social norms are made up of what?
Well, opinions, yes, but the reason they're a social norm is because almost everybody, like over the average, all think the same way, if I'm correct.
I totally agree with you, and I so appreciate that you pointed this out. It goes back to humans who may have not found it unattractive or negative, that then were convinced by others. So these opinions were made up of humans who were not stern in their own opinions. So they were able to be influenced. I like to speak about the root, because in order to get rid of the symptom, we need to look at the roots, I humbly think. So let's say I like red. And then there are 200 people telling me red is ugly, red represents this party politically, red represents that emotionally, maybe frequency-based or spiritually, esoterically. What's the meaning? And then now I'm either stern and I still remain liking red, the color, or I start falling into, okay, anti-red group of people. So there was a very interesting experiment. I do not recall what it's called. Maybe I can later on add it into the description of this podcast episode. There were 5 or 6 people that were participating in the experiment and only one that was not informed about the experiment. So 5 people were informed that whatever you will see, you say the opposite. And then the one human not informed, let's test them. If they stick with their truth or if they bend and agree, the agreeability. So what they did, they put 2 straight lines next to one another, and one was absolutely visibly, easily, recognizably shorter than the other. And then they asked randomly. So first they asked 3 people in the experiment. So are they the same length, the 2 stripes on the wall, the 2 little lines? Or are they different in length? And the first 3 said, oh, they're the same in length, although they were absolutely not the same in length. Now comes the one participant who was not informed about the experiment, and he was thinking and then agreed they are both the same length, although he knew they were not the same length. Now, that's very dangerous, very dangerous. So does it then not come back to our own individual evaluation? I understand that you went through horrifying experiences when humans, young humans, bullied you because you don't have hair. I do not give any value to you having hair or not having hair. You're the greatest podcast partner I could have ever dreamt of, ever.
Well, we'd certainly have a different name, wouldn't we?
The hairy and the blonde, maybe, instead of bald and blonde. So when we start looking at the invisible assets or the values that you present and represent during your everyday life through your behavior, then I most likely will not be able to follow into that trap or fall into that trap. To say yes, both of these straight lines, back to the experiment, are the same length. I will stick to how I see it. I could be wrong. I see the right line is shorter than the left line on that piece of paper or the wall that is presented to me. So it goes down to every single one of us to stop it. It's not something that you stop in society. It's not something that can be stopped in a community. It starts with every single one of us.
Yeah, I've also seen that experiment, and in fact, in more than one format. So I've seen the lines one. I've seen another one where they had a buzzer and you were supposed to stand up when the buzzer sounded.
Yeah, yeah.
And room emptied, will he still stand up? And then a new guy came in who didn't even know about the buzzer and saw the other person doing it and started doing it. And I did learn about this at university, actually, in one of my courses, because it's a whole thing that happens in organizations too. And I believe it's called groupthink, where slowly the whole group will end up thinking the same because of the influence of some of the people within the group. And you can see how that could happen quite easily with young people who were very impressionable. I can also, and have seen it happen in workplaces where there are less confident people. They will go along with the more confident people because they're not very sure of themselves. So I think that is a super common phenomena. And I do also believe that you're right, that it comes back to every single one of us having strong enough values to stand up for them. This is what I believe about bullying as well. that it only stops when we individually stand up and say no to it and be a different way. And then almost I think we all need to lead by example, because if we want other people to be their best versions, we have to be our best versions. And opposing stigma, I think, can only be a good thing. What does stigma do in the end? It makes people feel terrible. It makes people feel bad about themselves. It probably makes them feel very left out. It gives them a very negative view of other people because they're being hurt by them all the time. And it constrains them, and I think places limits on the opportunities around them and also even on their own self-thinking. I know it certainly did for me. And so I probably can only speak to what I have experienced and when I was in the middle of it. But I can imagine that one stigma is probably quite similar to another in the fact that it can be very exclusive to people. Not exclusive in a good way either. Exclusive as in excluding them from perhaps a portion of society, excluding them from events or places that they could go to otherwise to have social contact. I think it can be super, super damaging. And I think that unless we have these conversations, things will just carry on like they've always been and nothing will change.
Okay, let's talk about how to change it.
Okay, let's do that.
Because talking about it doesn't change it yet.
No, it just brings awareness. We need action too.
Yes, because when we speak about it and let's say we bring it to the spotlight, there is, let's say, a black remote control or a red lipstick or a white pen. It doesn't change anything. So it goes back to every single one of us that we slow down in judging and start questioning. So I humbly think when someone says, oh, well, red lipstick is just really bad because it puts you in this or that category of human who's wearing that, ask questions instead of accepting it. Goes down to the very basics. Because when I don't accept you, when I don't ask you, does not that then almost mean that I'm silently agreeing too?
Perhaps you could take it that way, but also there's whatever, you know, you okay. Don't care what they think. That's okay too.
Yes, only when it will not influence me.
It can be tricky too, because at the beginning we mentioned small stigmas. And I think this is where it can be hard, because there are big stigmas that is quite obvious. Let's say if someone has autism, there's a stigma attached to that, but it is also something that is quite well known and we know we shouldn't have a stigma about it. We shouldn't exclude them. We shouldn't treat them differently. But if it's a small stigma, it can be easier to slip by someone. But my point is that, you know how you say, if I remain silent, am I agreeing? With small ones, maybe you don't even realize that's what's happening and you do agree to it without even realizing that's what you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think it is important to dismantle a little bit what I just heard you say. So someone who is different, that then we treat them differently. Yes. I don't want to be treated like the football player who is a gigantic mass of human being. Please do not treat me like them. I'm a female and I stand for it. So I'm physically more vulnerable than, let's say, the 350-pound NFL player.
I meant treat them differently because of their disadvantage.
Aha.
I obviously didn't say it. Sorry, I was wanting to get it out. I didn't express myself properly.
So, well, I think when someone has a disadvantage, they should be treated differently, but in a kind way, with understanding, with support. I went to a store the other day. There was a lady, she had all her hands full because apparently she did shop for a lot of people. She couldn't open the door, so I held her the door open. To me, that's natural. Now, I treated her differently than someone who walked in 2 minutes earlier. Now, is that stigma? No, that's kindness. So when we increase kindness and understanding, I will speak without stigma to a three-year-old differently than I speak to you. Why? Because I adjust to their level of understanding. Now, when someone has Asperger's or someone is restless, I will speak with them so they can understand when I feel I have something to deliver. So it's me adjusting to them. I am treating them differently. For example, I go for a walk with someone who's 20 years old, has legs like a stork. For example, my son, who is very tall and has long, skinny legs. I try to adjust to him, but he also tries to adjust to me. Because when he makes one step, I need to take most likely three. Or 2.5. So yes, let's adjust to one another, but with gentleness, with generosity, instead of, okay, I stigmatize you. It's fact. My legs are way shorter than my son's legs. He's 6.4. That's 195 centimeters, if I'm okay in this conversion. It is okay to treat someone differently. When someone's sitting there crying, I will treat them differently than when I see someone laughing. That has not to do with the social norms. It has to do with my human sense and being human. And the more human one becomes, I think the stigma will just dissolve. Because I don't care how many people say that red socks are absolutely the hit of the year in this fashion and it's winter and only blue lipstick is really cool and yellow hair is cool or a black mustache or purple nail polish. I can decide if I follow or if I don't. I am the one who can decide. And if someone tells me, Daisy, you're less of value because you're not wearing purple nail polish this season, that tells a lot about them. And then my question is, what do I want to be in contact with them for when they base my value on the color of my nail polish? Follow me here?
100%. And I agree with you too. I don't know about it disappearing though. I do feel like we've got a long way to go before that can happen. And I also feel like this is something that is learnt when we are very young. And some of it comes about because there are stories, I guess you'd call them, that we tell our children to explain things. And without even realize, we've stigmatized a group of people from that label or that story. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a little bit more ingrained than people realize. And I certainly think it individually, it's our own responsibility to not act in a way that stigmatizes others. But I also think we need to look for the hidden parts of it in our society and I guess contribute to that change. Because unless we all kind of work together on this, it isn't something that will change very fast because there's a group of people doing the stigmatizing. Now, I know we love humans and everybody's wonderful, but there are some nasty people out there.
Yes.
And they don't care how you feel.
Yes.
And they will stigmatize you at the drop of a hat if it suits them. They just are. That's in my belief. They're out there. And so for that reason, it's less easy to change because if everybody was kind and everybody was ready for change and everybody was ready to live their values, then perhaps our world could change faster. But I don't think that's the reality that we're dealing with.
I agree with you. And I agree with you that it will not change overnight unless we change overnight, every single one of us. I think it is a good idea to inspire humans to become self-thinkers. Now, I totally agree. Yes, I grew up in an environment where certain beliefs were present, where I was influenced by certain behaviors, where I was influenced by certain religion, maybe by specific food, by the do's and don'ts. For example, eat potatoes or don't eat potatoes, or you drink with a straw or you don't drink with a straw, or you hold your glass when it has a stem and then you utilize the stem, or you just grab the glass however you can and want and wish. I am absolutely one of the many billion humans who is conditioned. Now, the difference is that I can start questioning by becoming a self-thinker. Okay, so where does that come from? Okay, maybe my grandmother did it this way. Maybe my great-grandparents did it this way. Maybe the entire lineage of my ancestors did it this way. Now, is it really okay with me? Do I want to hold on to it or do I not want to hold on to it? And let's have a look at the consequences both ways. If I hold on to it, and what happens when I stop holding on to it? That makes me a complete sovereign self-thinker. And when I take full responsibility of self-thinking, then I can still accept the others who are stigmatizing. But they are not my playmates anymore. I'm not going to be around them. Will I meet them maybe when I have to go to certain places to do business? Or when I'm flying and let's say the flight attendant has their own stigmatizing value system within them? Yes, maybe so. But I can adjust my life and find like-minded non-stigmatizing humans who started to become self-thinkers sooner than later or never. And I had a great interesting conversation to me. I found it very interesting with a German young gentleman. And we were conversing about the big chains, big businesses, big corporations that so many of them have the tendency to overly use or sometimes partially abuse their workforce. And what we were discussing based on solution finding conversations, that when these individually working humans raise their standard and say, I am used to be yelled at and I now choose to not be yelled at anymore. Let's say there are 10 people. That's nothing. But let's say there are hundreds of people or thousands of people who say, look, I feel mistreated by the way how you speak to me. Your conversational style is just not pleasant and it's not appropriate based on my human values. And I do no longer participate in that. Let's say 10,000 people do that in one chain. Then the companies or the chain or this big corporation will find it worthwhile to adjust their styles to be more humane. So it is not going to go this way. I really have my big doubts, and I rarely am doubtful, but I have big doubts about the big chains or the corporations or like something like stigma is going to change from the top down. Those days are over. Change comes from the bottom up.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I think that the people at the bottom are way more motivated to create change than the people at the top because they're more likely going to be quite comfortable up there. And the things that we're talking about probably wouldn't even affect them. So why would they want to change or even be aware of the need for change? So I'm with you on that one. I think the power of the people is what's really great about that idea. And we do have that power. We have that power individually for ourselves to choose. And we have that power in numbers as well. And I think that we would all do well to remember the power that we have in our great numbers because we are the people and that's part of what makes us human.
I truly appreciate the way you phrased that and I'm very fond of the word remember. Not because it has to do with memory so much, but it has to do with remember. When we think of it in language, like remodeling, doing anew, rethinking, returning something. So when we turn it around and then when we remember and become a member of humane humanness again, then change is going to happen so quickly that it will take some time for us to adjust to it.
And I know in my heart that the change is going to start with our listeners in 78 countries because they have all got the inspiration to be their best versions. They've got the tools from listening to us for 2.5 years now. And I'm sure that they have the love for other people that we also have. So we thank all of you, each and every one of you listeners out there. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the attention that you give us. Thank you for sharing our episodes with your family, friends, colleagues, acquaintances, people you meet in the grocery store. We don't mind share. And when you do get a chance and are able, we also thank you for supporting us. Your support is super important. We could not stay ad-free without it. So we thank you in advance. Please do go to baldandblonde.live. You can contact us, you can support us, and you can definitely listen to any of our episodes right there on the website. Just use the search box in the top right-hand corner to find the topic you are interested in. I think that's it from us today. Any final words there, Daisy?
Thank you for giving me the chance to have a little voice here. I would like to also bring attention to our listeners in 78 countries that quarterly, Kathy and I, we offer free workshops where we come together, where we exchange, where we can connect with other like-minded humans. And please look out on the website. Kathy is super, super smart and so handy when it comes to that. She's posting it on the top of the landing page of the homepage of baldandblonde.live. Please watch out for that because we are going to have them quarterly and we are so much looking forward to connecting with you directly, humanely, respectfully, lovingly, caringly, inspirationally. We want to hear from you and we want to also respond to some questions that may arise from your individual, very subjective point of view. Thank you so much for your time and for your love that you share with us, the love for humans and the love for making this world a better place. Thank you.
Yes, and do join us on Telegram where you are able to talk to us one-on-one in a live call setting as well. The link is below in the episode description. That's it from us today. It's been fun talking about stigma. And I was going to say we'll see you, but we'll talk to you next week with another amazing episode from Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time. Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our podcast with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place. For you, for us, for future generations. Visit us at baldandblonde.live to get freebies, give feedback, and even support us with as little as $1. Talk to you soon.